Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. We are thrilled to have in studio with us today two gentlemen to talk about a wonderful program that happens annually in Hastings, the Tree of Lights campaign. And we are joined today by Dr. Mick Humbert and Terry Sieben. And we want to welcome them and thank them for coming in. First of all, Dr. Mick, let's talk about the fact that you are sitting in a studio that once was the Humbert Dental Office.
Yes, I had one or two of my teeth pulled very close by here by my father. But other than that,
You never worked in this building?
No, I never worked in this building.
Okay.
Terry Try and my father used to practice.
Together?
Together.
I don't think I knew that. Did you know that, Terry?
I did not.
Both deceased now, and both very, very excellent dentists and stuff. Terry, which made sense when he saw that it was going to be Humbert, 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 and Try.
Yep.
decided to branch out on his own after his military. He was a military dentist, and from what I know, and I still just friends drive his wife, Helene, once in a while to her medical appointments, and I get to chat with her. But yeah, he set up his own practice, as he should, and then we bought the home that was kitty corner from here and then tore it down, and that's the dental office that we had for a number of years.
Well, as people come in here, they're like, what's with the padded walls?
And oh, yeah.
You didn't have padded
so
walls.
So you didn't hear the screaming.
So what was this where we are right now? What was that?
One of my dad's operatories and stuff. And so you had, for dentistry, you had to have walls that were insulated, and with the x-rays that were in some other place, so any x-rays wouldn't transfer into another room-ish, so
yes.
they're usually lead-lined
okay.
to some degree, the other operatory, so what's done in the x-ray room stays in the x-ray room,
kinda
so
like
to speak. Kind
of like here, right? What happens here stays here. Well, welcome back. It's
yep.
great to see you. And Terry Sieben, great to see you as well. I think I saw you about, I don't know, an hour ago. So it's nice to see you again. So first of all, who wants to talk about Regina Hospital, which is now known as United Hospital Hastings Campus Regina or something like that?
Well, I'll go and Terry can
sure.
Terry can hop on. Well, we all know way back in the day that it was all one facility. Eventually, that wasn't possible anymore financially and workability. So I think it was a good idea, me personally, that Alina came in, was able to invest money, and they took over the hospital part. And Benedictine Health Systems came in and took over the assisted living and convalescent home and things like that. So there's two entities, but they all have Regina still in their name. There's a contract or agreement with the Catholic entity, the Archdiocese, that both have to maintain their Catholic identity. And so they follow through with a few extra additional things that would require them to follow some of the morals and ethics of Christianity in general off of the Catholic tradition. And so that's what we currently have today. The Benedictine side is investing fairly heavily now in renovating the living space for the residents at this time. So for moving forward, yeah, the good old days and the one campus and hopefully some of that is maintained and stays, but I think it's been a good thing.
Well, let's talk about the board that you were on. Terry, how long have you been on this board at Regina?
Well, it's probably 2+ years, I'm thinking now. The Catholic side of it, the Catholic board that I'm on, and we brought Mick in here. Boy, has it been a year for you? Maybe a little more?
It just seems like a lifetime.
Yeah, it sure does. I always kind of view it, we have the Archbishop come down and visit us once a year.
Correct.
And I think I've been there for 3 visits now, and mm-hmm. those are usually in October, I think 3. So it's great to have him and have the access and to have him visit and see what great work is being done on the Catholic side with the hospital and the assisted living.
Well, and it's really nice now there is a full-time chaplain at the hospital mm-hmm. because for a while there was not. It's
yeah,
great.
Father Anderson.
Father Mike Anderson has been there now maybe a year, a little mm-hmm. bit more than a year.
Yep. Yeah, we have what we would call a priest in residence. There's a spiritual care director, Kirsten, who oversees the BHS side. Paul, can't remember his last name, sorry, is on the Alina side who does the chaplaincy and oversees anything. But from a priest in residence standpoint, a P people remember several of the priests that we had, starting all the way back to Father Dunn era. Yeah, we have a priest in residence again. So
tell us a little bit about the Tree of Lights campaign.
Well, the Tree of Lights, again, started way back with the sisters and father, and they would use the money for various designated purposes each year. This is the first year that it's been designated for spiritual care. In other words, the chaplaincy, supporting father and his living expenses and things like that. But for campus-wide, for Alina and the BHS side, and they meet at one of our meetings each year and decide what percentage of the proceeds off the Tree of Lights from the endowment would go towards chaplaincy and the spiritual care. There was an endowment 20, 25 years ago, somebody will correct me, that my father and some of our parents were involved with raising money for. The money's not touched, but then the proceeds off that go towards spiritual care, and they wanted the legacy of spiritual care to continue on the campus, and wisely, in some senses, if other entities bought in what we needed to assist them. The community needed assistance. Besides Alina being a partner, BHS being a partner, is the community a partner in keeping spirit? That's the way I look at it. Is the community a partner in keeping spiritual care active at this campus? And so that's why the endowment and now the Tree of Lights is there to support that cause.
So many people have seen the Tree of Lights. It's so lovely. And the more people participate, the more lights we will have. Is that how it works?
It is. Yeah, you can get businesses. We did kind of a blitz here earlier here some weeks ago to start to go to area businesses and use businesses that have given funds in the past and try and ask them again. And then I think we opened it to some new businesses. We've got, we're open to anybody. We've got different forms and individuals can give, not only businesses. And you can find a lot of that stuff online and different things. And we're trying to make it real easy and trying to make it a beautiful wintertime event for people to drive through and see the lights. It's not inside like it was, I think, years ago. We talked off air that, you know, there was maybe Christmas trees with bulbs that were purchased and right. Things like that. And now it's outside. It's in the circle on the north side, the old entrance.
The old entrance area. To the hospital. The
people that have been around a long time.
So how does this work, please? How can we participate?
Businesses can sponsor at whatever level they want, but if they sponsor at, let's say, $1,000, they'll get a poster board that's put up outside with all the other displays of the trees that are there with their logo on it, and that's how they sponsor. They can do it by, you know, check, credit card, and there we have a QR code, and you have to follow the instructions and things like that. So that's how businesses, we've tried to connect with Chamber of Commerce. There's obviously donors who were involved with in the past. We've approached the area congregations to see if they're interested in supporting the spiritual care in that way from a business standpoint. And if they donate, then they just send us a logo that's usable for, you know, for, let's say, graphic design, who did it before to make the poster board. And that's what goes up with the trees. If they donate as high as $5,000, then they actually get their own tree, so to speak. So there's a graded system of donation and things like that.
And this has been going on, you said, for maybe 40, 50 years?
Yeah, in general, Tree of Lights, the effort with the multiple trees outside and the change of emphasis and how big it is, probably 5 years or so.
Yeah.
And both Alina and BHS, Jason, who's manager, you know, at Alina, give credits to him and his team for putting up the Tree of Lights and how large it has become. There's other players that have helped out, like Precision Landscaping, you know, with expertise with doing things with the trees that have helped out. So the largeness of it, where you drive through, in other words, it's part of the Hastings effort. They list places that you can visit, you know, where are the places in Hastings you can go see Christmas lights. Tree of Lights will be listed as one of them on the City of Hastings, and so City Hastings has been helpful in that way as well.
How about individuals, Terry? How can they participate in something like this?
It's real similar to the business side, I guess I'll call it, that we have a separate form for them and information for them, and they can, you know, start at $25 if they want, go up to $250, $500, whatever individually they would like. Any amounts would definitely help. It's real similar to what the business side is. We're just, obviously you probably wouldn't have a logo or something like for your individual one, but.
So I'm thinking you could do lights in memory of somebody.
Yep.
Or, mm-hmm. You know, you have a family, just name a family mm-hmm. member or something. How would we go about doing this, though? I mean, how would we find this information online?
On the Benedictine Living Community website, the United Illini Hospital websites, and some of that we will provide to you, Mo, and you could put it maybe Facebook page or however your radio station wants to use it.
Okay.
And as Mick said, there's different QR codes, so you can use a smartphone to be able to click on it and get the information direct.
Yeah, it would even be possible there will be a huge one or two ones with the QR code as you drive through, if you wait until that time when it's actually Christmas season, that you'd be able to do it from your car practically when you drive through, and you'd use the QR code off of one of the boards that is outside.
We've got a great source at the Benedictine system, that Maureen Maher, who's the development director.
Yep.
And she is one that's been working with us very closely. And we have an email address for her, too, for people that want more info. It's Maureen, M-A-U-R-E-E-N, dot Maher, M-A-H-E-R, at BenedictineLiving.org. So BenedictineLiving.org. So BenedictineLiving, one word, .org. And she is a great source for that.
They can also email me. My email is mhum, B as in boy, EE, at comcast.net.
So this event starts when, please?
I know our deadline to try to get everything in is coming up here pretty quick, 7 November.
Yeah, for businesses, it's 7 November because we have to get their logos yeah. and then get them printed. But the display goes up and is active right after Thanksgiving mm-hmm. and runs through the end of the year. And so individuals can donate through the end of the year. But yeah. businesses, if they're interested, they can donate anytime too. But if they want the board and the all that goes with it, the 7th November is the deadline.
So this money, again, is going to be used specifically for spiritual care this year.
Correct.
Which is wonderful to hear. I think people like to give money to something specific. So the spiritual care that is provided at both facilities, right? I mean,
mm-hmm. yeah, both sides.
Talk about that, please.
We have the chapel that is a multi-use facility, non-denominational, and we do have the Catholic priest in residence, but the other chaplains that support it are of different faiths. That's probably one of the main focuses. And then there's a small chapel in the basement of the hospital side, of kind of a meditation room. I don't know if it's officially a chapel, but it's a religious space for people to go to also when they've got loved ones in the hospital side. So you've got both of those, the other spiritual needs that are, whether it could be rosaries or books or different literature, the money goes to that.
People who come through the hospital are, let's say, more short-term, and so their
sure.
needs emotionally and spiritually may be different. And then on the senior living side, it's their home, and so their needs are somewhat different. So Paul on the Lina side focuses on the hospital, and Father goes visits on that side as well. And then Kirsten and Kevin and Father focus the rest of the time on the Benedictine side. You expect a facility, hospital, or senior living to look after the body part of it and the emotional side of it. And I would say a lot of the emotional support that people get first and foremost is through the staff there, the staff that treat them, bathe them, move them, feed them. That's the emotional support. But beyond that, sometimes chaplaincy is involved. People need more intimate one-on-one interaction with a staff person. That's why there's roughly between the two campuses, two FTEs as far as chaplaincy, and then the addition of Father Mike as far as a live-in resident priest.
So let's talk about the board that you are on. Are you seeking any new members?
I think right now we're full up, but I guess we're always looking for Catholics that are interested in helping the hospital and the Benedictine senior living side, they could contact any of us to at least let us know that they might be interested and want to know more information. But right now, we're full up, I guess I would say, with membership.
Yeah, presently. It's the interface with the Archdiocese. In lieu of the Archbishop being here or any of his staff asking questions, who interfaces between Alina, BHS, and the community and the Archbishop? This is the only Catholic hospital that the Archbishop has. There's others that have some identity from the past, like St. Francis and stuff.
I was thinking in Shakopee, right?
Yeah, in St. Francis and stuff. But from this type of agreement that the identity is to be maintained this way, Regina is the only Catholic entity that's directly tied that way to the Archdiocese.
And when you say this agreement, how long will this agreement be for?
Forever.
Oh, okay.
Until all the entities get together and change it. You know,
yeah.
That's up to the entities and the Archbishop.
Okay, but we want to keep this strong identity going, and this is a wonderful way for us to continue that.
Yeah, when I was spiritual care director, the hope was that we, from an emotional and spiritual standpoint, honor everyone's journey. And that could be Jewish, Quran, it could be any faith tradition. The tradition that we serve out of happens to be Christian, and central to that, or more focused than that, it happens to be tied to the Catholic traditions. So I hope we have avenues available for any faith tradition to be honored, and they can worship and be supported in the way that they wish. Yeah, certainly we have most knowledge of the Christian way. That'd be easy to say, but hopefully we honor all traditions and welcome all people. That's certainly the Benedictine and Alina mottos of hospitality and stuff like that. It's in their mission statements and things like that. And we just happen to have a very strong Christian Catholic flavor to it.
So the Tree of Lights will be up pretty much all winter?
From Thanksgiving through the end of the year. Yeah, so month plus, basically.
Nice. Any last thoughts?
Thanks for letting us get the word out about the Tree of Lights specifically.
And we will actually post that QR code on our KDWA Facebook page so people can go right there and donate.
Yep. Yeah, whatever way you can help in that way, we'd appreciate it.
Well, we really appreciate what you both are doing. And we want to thank our guest, Terry Sieben, and Dr. Mick Humbert. Again, the Tree of Lights will be at Regina Hospital all through this holiday season. And if you would like to participate in honor of somebody, please go ahead and do that. And like I said, we will post a QR code so you can connect directly and make a donation like that on our KDWA Facebook page. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.